Welcome to the Cancer Care Connect workshop. At this time, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Later, we'll conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to introduce your moderator for today's workshop, Dr. Carolyn Messner, Director of Education and Training at Cancer Care. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you, Janitha, and I, too, would like to welcome everyone to today's Cancer Care Connect workshop, The Importance of Taking Your Pills on Schedule. This is a very important topic in the cancer world today, and you're going to hear wonderful speakers address this topic today. I think you'll leave the call feeling quite informed about this. Now, today's program is a collaborative effort between Cancer Care and many other cancer organizations, and it really is because of that collaboration that we have been able to reach so many of you on the call today. We have over 569 participants on the call today, so there's a lot of you, and you come from all over the United States, from all different states and regions, and we have international participants from Canada and the United Kingdom, so a global call, actually, and it's really a credit to each of you that you've chosen to spend the next hour with us. I would like to turn your attention for a moment to all the materials that you received from Cancer Care. In those materials is an outline of what our speakers will be addressing and information about each of our speakers. And there also is an evaluation form, and I would ask you to take a moment and complete that evaluation form. When you think about it, who but each of you can best tell us the topics you'd like us to, you know, present on in the future and what you think of the program? We very much rely on your feedback to some extent as we plan programs. And we are beginning in 2012 now, and we have lots of programs that we're planning. So your timing of giving us feedback couldn't be better. I also, in your materials, there also is information about all the different collaborating organizations as resources for you to use, and we hope you'll take advantage of those as well. Now, today's program is made possible by an educational grant from GlaxoSmithKline Oncology, and I really want to thank them for their support of this program. We have really, I would say, a star-studded cast of speakers today, just wonderful speakers. I'm going to start by introducing our first speaker, Dr. Rogerio Lilienbaum. Dr. Lilienbaum is chairman, Cancer Institute, Cleveland Clinic, Florida. And Dr. Lilienbaum is going to address an overview of cancer treatments, definition of adherence, taking your pills on schedule, and communicating with your healthcare team. It's my pleasure now to turn the program over to Dr. Lilienbaum.
Thank you very much, Dr. Messner. I'd like to thank all of you for participating in this program. I hope that this information will be helpful to you and your loved ones. As you can see, I have a general topic of cancer treatments and then a more specific discussion about adherence and how to take pills on schedule and communicate with your healthcare team. I'm going to try to address some of the issues that we face in clinical practice, exactly in a way explaining how we communicate with our patients and how we hope, you know, that our patients will communicate with us. So give you all a perspective of how we see some of these newer treatments for cancer and how we somehow communicate the issues related to those medications, and above all, you know, our hopes that these treatments will translate into an improved quality of life for all of our patients. So cancer treatment has evolved significantly in the past decade. Many of us, you know, still think of a patient with cancer, any cancer, being, you know, tied up to an IV, receiving very potent medications that essentially will make everybody sick. That's still, unfortunately, a widely perceived notion of what an anti-cancer treatment is, and in many minds is supposed to be. Nothing can be further from the truth at this point. Number one, I think our traditional chemotherapy agents have improved considerably. The side effect profile of these medications has improved. And above all, our ability to counteract most of these side effects has also improved significantly. But I think perhaps one, if not the most significant change in the way we approach certain types of cancer is the availability of oral agents. This is not unique to a certain type of cancer. There are several examples in many different tumor types. We have examples in breast cancer, not only in terms of hormonal agents, which Dr. Rudy will address in a few minutes, but also certain chemotherapy agents that can be given on an oral formulation. We have examples in lung cancer, for which we have two approved oral agents in the treatment of this disease, which did not exist just a few years ago. In fact, the second agent was approved less than 6 months ago. And then we have a myriad of examples in patients with kidney cancer, for example, which was a disease that was largely untreatable a decade ago, and for which we have now over 5 or 6 approved agents, many of which can be given on an oral formulation. So oral agents or oral treatments have become an integral part of our day-to-day management of patients with cancer. And while this is a great step forward for many of our patients in terms of convenience and side effect and quality of life, we have to be cognizant and cautious with some of the issues that inevitably arise when somebody is taking medications at home as opposed to coming to the office or to the cancer center to receive intravenous medications on a set schedule. So one issue is, do patients take those medications exactly as they're supposed to take, number one, and how do we monitor that? So many of these medications and have to be taken a certain way, and perhaps people listening in know about this already. Some have to be taken on an empty stomach. Some have to be taken a certain number of hours before or after you eat a meal. Some, it doesn't really matter. Some have to be taken exactly 12 hours apart. Others only twice a day, but it doesn't really have to be every 12 hours. So there's, it can be confusing, not just for the patients, but it can be confusing also for the healthcare providers. Most of this doesn't really exist when we use more conventional intravenous chemo agents. So it's important to understand, number one, exactly how these drugs are supposed to be taken. Another issue that comes up very often, which is not always addressed, and I think this is something that we as healthcare providers have to do a better job, is some of these medications, because they are being absorbed by the stomach, they have interactions with other medications. So every time, you know, somebody is prescribed a medication for cancer, an anti-cancer medication, an oral drug, we have to make sure that that drug can be taken with the other medications that that patient already takes for diabetes or for heart disease or blood pressure, whatever it might be. But that's an important issue of oral drugs. And number three, I think it's how do we monitor patients to ensure that the medication is being taken on a regular schedule. And that can be confusing as well, depending on the medication. So some recommendations, if you happen to skip one day, you know, or forget one day. So somebody takes a medication always in the morning. That individual, for some reason, doesn't remember to take that medication until the evening. So what do? Do they take it in the evening and again in the morning? Do they just skip that day? These are very important issues that need to be discussed with the physician, with the nurses, with the pharmacists, so that you are being treated with an oral drug, but yet the compliance and the adherence to the treatment is the same as it would be if the treatment were given intravenously on a set interval. So I think that, like everything else in medicine and otherwise, we're making progress. We are able to target some of these cancer cells in a more direct way with less side effects and a less impact on the patient's quality of life. However, the fact that it's a, quote, pill doesn't mean that it can be taken any less seriously than an intravenous medication. We still have side effects that we need to talk about and address. Some patients can't handle oral medications, even if it's just, again, a pill. So we have to be aware of those issues. And we need to make sure that that medication is given and achieves a level in the bloodstream that will be as effective as any other medication given intravenously is supposed to be. So I think communication here is key. I think this part of our cultural framework that we somehow have a different perception about intravenous chemotherapy versus a pill. You know, we tend to take the chemo drugs very seriously. Nobody would, God forbid, forget to ask about side effects or forget to ask about the schedule or not show up for an appointment or a treatment. But yet sometimes we tend to get comfortable with the pills. We tend to get comfortable with the oral medications, especially those that have to be taken for a long time, and then not and forget that these medications have the same purpose and the same goal as the more traditional chemo drugs. So ask all the questions, how to take the medication, when is it okay to stop, what should I do if I have X, Y, and Z. So it's just as important to communicate about oral agents as it is with chemotherapy agents. So with that, I will stop and return to Dr. Messner and other speakers in the program. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Lilienbaum. That was a really extraordinary presentation and just a wonderful overview of the role of pills in the treatment of cancer and helping people to understand they can talk to their doctors about the questions they have. So I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A, and thank you for the excellent presentation. Our next speaker is Dr. Catherine Ruddy. Dr. Ruddy is instructor in medicine, Harvard Medical School, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And Dr. Ruddy is going to address the importance of adherence in cancer management, barriers to taking your pills, and practical tips to overcome these barriers, or why it's so hard to take them and how do you overcome that. Dr. Ruddy?
I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to speak with you all today. I specialize in treating breast cancer patients, mostly women, but also some men, and I've studied adherence in a large clinical trial of oral chemotherapy in patients over age 65 with breast cancer. I'll be starting to speak about the important role of adherence in the management of cancer. As Dr. Lilienbaum described, there has been more development, availability, and use of oral antineoplastic agents over the last few years. But studies have shown that adherence rates to oral therapies are sometimes as low as 20% in adults with cancer. And the degree of adherence may have a substantial effect on the success or failure of oral cancer regimens. For some regimens, we know that patients often do not complete the recommended duration of treatment and therefore do not obtain optimal benefit. For example, we know that patients who only take 1 year of tamoxifen after early stage breast cancer do not get as much reduction in risk of recurrence as those who take 2 years, and they don't get as much reduction in risk as those who take the full recommended 5 years. Also, like patients with other diseases, cancer patients often miss or mistime doses of medications or accidentally take too many doses. These errors have been associated with increased physician visits, hospitalization rates, and dose and regimen changes. For example, patients who miss doses of imatinib, the other name for that is Gleevec, for chronic myelogenous leukemia, are more likely to experience complications from their disease. In some cases, when a drug is causing severe toxicity, non-adherence may be very appropriate, at least until a patient can get guidance from a healthcare provider. For example, when I prescribe the oral chemotherapy capecitabine to patients, I tell them to stop taking the drug immediately if they develop severe diarrhea or hand-foot pain, and to wait until they are able to speak with me before they consider restarting it. And it's not just the anti-cancer drugs for which adherence is important. Adhering to medications that reduce side effects is often crucial to being able to receive effective cancer treatments. If my patients don't take their anti-nausea or anti-constipation medications as directed during their first cycle of chemotherapy, they'll feel worse and be less physically and emotionally ready for their second cycle than if they had adhered to the recommended regimen of medications. With toxic drugs like chemotherapy, medications that minimize side effects are extremely important, and they often do not work as well if doses are missed. For example, if a patient skips a few scheduled doses of Zofran, an anti-nausea pill, she may become so nauseated that she can't swallow the pill later, and she may become weak and dangerously dehydrated. There are multiple recognized barriers to adherence. Each of you is the expert on exactly what issues are pertinent to you. From personal experience, I know that I stand in my bathroom so many mornings wondering whether I already took my calcium pill or not. I remember meaning to take it, but I'm not sure whether I actually did. Many of you can probably relate to this. With calcium, taking an extra one won't harm me, so I usually err on the side of doing that if I can't remember if I already took it or not. But with cancer therapies, which may be toxic if you take too much, this is a much bigger problem. In addition, I sometimes find that a day goes by and I totally forget all about my calcium. Again, with cancer therapy, this would be a much bigger issue. In fact, in large studies, it appears that forgetting may be the most common issue behind missed doses. There are also data to suggest that cancer patients who feel a lack of control over their health care, in other words, they don't feel they've had a role in making the decisions that led to their current treatment, may also be more likely not to take their oral medications. We know that adherence tends to decrease over time, meaning that you are likely to miss more doses during the fifth year you are taking a medication than during the first. Except in pediatric populations, in which adolescents are clearly least likely to take their pills, age has not been shown to correlate with greater or fewer missed doses. Not surprisingly, regimens that require more frequent doses seem to be more difficult to follow accurately. And sometimes patients take a drug more often than they were told to if they're confused by the regimen or if they think that taking more will help them more. Side effects can also make adherence difficult. For example, as Dr. Lillenbaum described, if a medication, these oral medications can cause significant side effects similar to the IV medications, and if a medication, for example, causes diarrhea, some patients may not take it on days when they're expecting a long car trip or an important professional or social meeting. When a medication requires significant behavioral change, that can also be a barrier to adherence. For example, if it has to be refrigerated, and this means you have to walk all the way across your office building to get to the fridge, you may be less likely to adhere. Or if it has to be taken in the morning on a full stomach, but you're not used to eating breakfast, it may be less likely that you actually are taking it as prescribed. Inconvenient or inefficient clinics or pharmacies may also be problematic. If you have to wait on hold for 15 minutes every time you call your doctor's office to request a refill, or if the line at your pharmacy is always 20 people long, you may delay requesting or picking up your monthly supply of medication if you're busy. Plus, if there's a week-long delay between the time that you request the renewed script from your doctor and the time the script is actually called or faxed to the pharmacy, this may add to the number of doses that you miss. Other documented barriers to adherence include complex treatment regimens, poor communication with healthcare providers, patient dissatisfaction with care, patient health beliefs weighing in favor of non-adherence, inadequate social support, and mental illness or cognitive compromise. So how can we overcome these barriers to adherence? There have been several studies that have shown that education, home psychological support, and training in pill taking, including practicing self-medication with a healthcare provider present, may improve adherence. In one study, multidimensional pharmacy care, in other words, individualized medication education, as well as blister pack dispensing of the medication and follow-up with a pharmacist every 2 months, was shown to improve medication adherence in a select population. For each individual, depending on what the specific barriers are to adherence, there may be different methods that are most effective to optimize a person's ability to take cancer treatments as prescribed. A few practical tips to overcome barriers to adherence. One is, discuss the side effects of the medication with your healthcare provider, as Dr. Lillenbaum suggested. some of the side effects that you're perceiving might actually be due to a different medication or condition, and medical management, either with another medicine or with lifestyle changes, may help minimize symptoms so that you feel comfortable taking the pills as prescribed. For example, when a patient is prescribed tamoxifen for an early-stage breast cancer, she or he may experience a lot of hot flashes, and sometimes patients tell me that they skip doses to try to reduce the number of hot flashes they have. However, because this may increase the chance that the cancer will come back and may not even help with the hot flashes, it's much better for that patient to tell me about the hot flashes so that I can offer solutions such as dressing in layers, keeping the bedroom cool, and sometimes a medication like venlafaxine that has proven to reduce hot flashes. Another tip, pill boxes. Data are mixed regarding whether it's helpful to use daily pill boxes, but I will tell you that anecdotally, many of my patients tell me that they do use pill boxes and that these do help them remember that if they've taken their pills for the day or not, and therefore they improve their adherence with the pill boxes. And my third tip would be using a reminder to take your pills. So that could be a phone call from a friend or family member or just a watch or cell phone alarm. In the future, it's possible that talking pill bottles will in fact be widespread to remind all of us how and when to take our medications. So in conclusion, adherence is crucial to the success of oral treatments for cancer. It's important to try to identify what factors are interfering with adherence for you. Is it that you're having trouble remembering, that you're experiencing too many side effects, that you're uncertain how to take the medications, that you're having trouble getting the refills you need? And once you figure out what the obstacles are to your own adherence, it will be easier to find ways to minimize these barriers. For some people, that may mean starting to use a daily pill box or asking a friend or family member to call at the same time daily. For others, other solutions may make more sense. Thank you very much for listening. I'll be happy to take questions later in this call.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Ruddy. It's just really a wonderful presentation, really, and all of the tips and the concept of the talking pill box, that's really very interesting, and I have not heard that before, so that's really, it sounds like there's a lot of work being done to create new ways to help people to remember to take their pills, but you've given some really great suggestions, and I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A. Our next speaker is Dr. Anna Hitron, and Dr. Hitron is a pharmacist. She's an oncology pharmacy specialist at Jewish Hospital St. Mary's Healthcare. I should say that Dr. Hitron actually is making kind of a pioneering a moment on this call because she's our very first pharmacist that we've ever had on our teleconferences. We've really searched far and wide to find an excellent pharmacist, and we found Dr. Hitron. We're very delighted to have her on the call. And she's going to talk about the role of the pharmacist and lead time in refilling prescriptions. So I'm going to turn the program over to Dr. Hitron, and we're delighted to have you with us today.
Thank you very much, Dr. Messer. Many of you will probably encounter pharmacists both in your infusion clinic where you may receive IV chemotherapy medications as well as your local pharmacy where you pick up your regular medications. Both of these people can serve as a great resource if you have questions about your medications, be it how to take them, any interactions, or as well as what to expect. If you do have a pharmacist in your infusion clinic, they typically specialize in the preparation and information regarding chemotherapy, namely the IV products you receive while in clinic. They are your best resource for chemotherapy questions. In several clinics, the pharmacist may be the one to come speak with you about the medications you take at home, as well as what side effects you can expect from the chemo you are going to receive in clinic. And even if you don't normally see them, if you do have a question about medications while you're in clinic, feel free to ask the nursing staff or the other healthcare professionals in your clinic to speak with the pharmacist so you can ask them your questions while you're there. Many of you, though, will more commonly encounter your local pharmacist that serves in the Walgreens or Kroger's or whichever pharmacy you normally use to pick up your medications. They are a perfect resource for general medication questions, especially if you're unable to reach your physician. Pharmacists are there to answer your questions, so even if they look busy, ask to speak with them if you have any questions regarding when to take your medications, unexpected side effects, or medication interactions. This is especially useful when you're considering using over-the-counter products with your chemotherapy. Something that you can do to help ensure that your pharmacist has all the necessary information to properly review your medications is to carry an up-to-date medication list. Not only will this help your physician as you move between hospital to clinic, this also will help your pharmacist to ensure that they know exactly what you're taking and they can look at everything you're on to ensure there are no interactions that will hurt you. Many times you might have to use multiple pharmacies, especially if you've got insurance that requires you use a specialty pharmacy. So the pharmacist may not be able to see the chemotherapy agents that you're on when looking at your regular medication profile. In order to keep a list, there's a couple different ways you can do this. It can be as simple as keeping a list written on an index card in your wallet, or it can be as complex as there's actually phone applications designed to help you keep track of the medications and then remind you also to take your medications. So it can even help with the adherence that Dr. Reddy was talking about. When you go to refill your medications, it's also best to call the pharmacist during the day when they're actually in. That way, again, if there's any questions or anything comes up, it gives you the opportunity to speak to an actual person. I know a lot of times when I call my pharmacy, you know, you're automatically directed towards the voicemail message that says to press 2 if you want this, 3 if you want this. And in general, I try to just go ahead and opt for the option that says to speak with an actual person. And that way I can make sure that they know exactly what I want and that it's going to be able to be refilled adequately. It's really important when you go to get your medications refilled to also call about a week ahead of time. That way, if the medication's not in stock, it gives plenty of time to make sure it's ordered. Or if you have any insurance problems that come up, it gives the pharmacist time to make sure that it will be covered by your insurance. Many chemotherapeutic agents are not routinely stocked in many pharmacies. And so it's something that if you call the night before, there's really no way to guarantee that you're going to be able to get it the next day. And so the more lead time you can give your pharmacist, the better it is, and the more we can ensure that you get your medication on time when you need it. A lot of times, many insurance companies require that patients use a mail-order pharmacy system. And if this is the case with your insurance company, they should let you know this in your plan. A lot of times, patients may fill their first round of oral chemotherapy at their local pharmacy and then find out with the second round when they go to get it refilled that they have to go through a mail-order process. Try to speak with your insurance plan ahead of time so you know if you're going to have to go through a mail-order pharmacy. And again, if you're not told about this, having a week warning for refills can allow the pharmacist to make sure to contact you and direct you to the right people in order to get your medications refilled. The most important thing when looking at using oral chemotherapy is speak to your pharmacist. They're there to answer questions. They're there to help you to make sure that you have all the tools you need to make sure that you're going to be able to tolerate this okay, make sure it's not going to interact with anything new you want to take, and make sure you're going to be able to get it on time. If you're having problems in obtaining your medication, speak with them and they should be able to help direct you towards better courses to take. Either being, you know, call earlier, maybe it's this is not the best pharmacy for you to use, but we're going to refer you to somewhere new, or maybe we can change the schedule in conjunction with your physician to possibly provide a better schedule to make sure you can take your medications on time. So the best thing I would stress here for all patients with oncology, be it oral chemotherapy or if they're taking just adjunct medications like Zofran or pain medications, is to keep open lines of communication, again, with your pharmacist and make sure that they're aware of what you're taking, and that way they have everything needed when you come to them with questions. And at this point, I will go ahead and continue the program with Dr. Palos.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Hitron. That's just a wonderful presentation. We're delighted to have a pharmacist on the call to really remind everybody about the important role of the pharmacist and really to ask questions of the pharmacist as well. And you did an excellent job. Thank you so much. Our next speaker is Dr. Guadalupe Palos. Dr. Palos is actually a clinical research manager at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, Division of Medical Affairs, Department of Cancer Survivorship. She's actually a bit of her own healthcare team. She's both a nurse, a social worker, and a doctor of public health. And Dr. Palos is going to address planning ahead and special occasions, vacations, travel, holidays, and weekends. It's my pleasure to turn the program over to Dr. Palos.
Good afternoon to our telephone participants, and thank you, Carolyn, for the opportunity to participate in the discussion of such an important topic. This important topic impacts everyone on this call. Why? Because at one time or another, if not all of us, probably have been prescribed medications for an illness. And so in addition to the prescribed medications, many of us also take over-the-counter medications such as vitamins or herbal supplements to maintain our health and wellness. The combination of these medications often lead to confusion over scheduling, the purpose of the medication, and concerns about side effects from the interactions of the medications. The importance of taking medications as prescribed by our providers is recognized by all of us. Yet, another challenge facing patients and caregivers and providers is how to follow a medication plan when we live in a busy world that operates on schedules, deadlines, and changes. The issue of taking medications on schedule becomes even more critical when managing medication regimens needed to treat cancer and its side effects, such as the oral chemotherapy agents that we heard about, and or pain medication. And in addition to these types of medications, a person may also be taking medications for other conditions such as hypertension, diabetes, arthritis, and other illness. There is no doubt that there are several complex factors that influence our ability to take medications as so well discussed by our speakers. For example, Dr. Linneman gave an excellent overview of the important role of adherence in managing cancer. His discussion increased our awareness of how adherence or non-adherence during cancer treatment really makes a difference. Dr. Ruddy's discussion helped us understand the significant impact of barriers and the tips to overcome those barriers. And Dr. Hilton provided wonderful information on the role of the pharmacist and the importance of giving the pharmacist time to refill the prescription. Interestingly, a major theme throughout all the presentations is the importance of planning and its significant impact on taking pills as prescribed. Planning is critical, but we also need to recognize that we as caregivers or providers can support patients in achieving optimal adherence. That support is particularly needed when several medications are prescribed on a short-term or long-term basis or at different times. There are simple strategies that one can take to help our loved ones prioritize and plan the schedules for taking their pills. I will briefly touch on strategies that are helpful to use during special occasions like vacations, spring breaks like are coming up, travel, and holidays. With these tips, we can support the patient in meeting their scheduled time for taking their meds. The first one, and it sounds so intuitive, but I think we really forget it, is to, again, learn the importance of planning ahead of time whenever a special occasion or travel is scheduled. Now, travel can be a 40-mile drive to your daughter for an afternoon visit, or it could be a 5-hour flight or 10 days out of state. It doesn't matter what the length of time is. Remember, it's important that you're always going to have to follow the schedule, the dose, and the correct medication as prescribed. As mentioned by our other speakers, there are different ways to keep track of that schedule. You can set alarms on the electronic devices. Some of you use a watch. Some of you can use your smartphone, your computer, or your iPad. If you're not a techie-type person and prefer written aids, make a poster of your medications. Color-code them to indicate purpose. You can note the time, the dose, and how to take the medication. Do you take it by mouth and swallow? Do you take it by mouth and it dissolves? What is the way you're supposed to take this? And this is also very handy to have for your caregivers or other folks that may be helping you. As mentioned also by our speakers, there's different ways to organize medications. The pill containers by day or week. And again, all these methods are going to depend on your preferences and your needs. And these methods sometimes will also be appropriate for your work setting. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, that sounds like a lot of work. And it may be, but if done up front, it will minimize the risks of missed doses, incorrect meds being taken, or pills not being available when needed. Now, here's a second tip, and we've heard it over and over again. Be aware that medications may change over time, so it's important to communicate with your team when dealing with the changes. Maintain open and ongoing communication between the patient and their primary caregivers and the healthcare team. And again, the healthcare team includes our physicians, office staff, pharmacists, and even our pharmacy techs. Now, here's some tips that can help for planning ahead. Keep a small or carry a bag with all the medications either stored in a prescription container or in their original bottles, depending on the length of the trip and the route of transportation. Keep a small index card in your wallet as well as a family member's wallet, listing all the medications, their dosage, time to be taken, and how to be taken. On the back of that index card, write down the names and the contact information of the physicians prescribing the medication, the pharmacy where the medications are obtained, and also include emergency information for the provider and the pharmacy. You can also ask your physician to write a letter stating that he or she has prescribed the following medications and have a list of the medications. And you can make copies of the letter and, again, give those to your providers or other caregivers that are involved in your care. The other important thing is by keeping a packed bag of extra meds or your meds when you travel, you're providing a sense of security. So that way you know that if for some reason you're not at home when it's time to take that medication, you have that extra bag there. If you're going to be flying during your special occasions, always keep your medication with you with a small carry-on bag. Again, you may wish to keep your meds in their original container, and this is an excellent time for you to have the letter from your physician. Keep the letter in the bag and then show it to the security folks when and if needed. The schedule of refills is critically important, and it helps minimize the risk of being in another state or country and running out of medications. And we heard some wonderful tips on how to contact the pharmacy ahead of time and to work with your pharmacist to avoid not getting your refills on time. And so I just want to stress once again that a critical step is to keep regular and open communication open. Inform the team about the type of side effects you as the patient or you as the caregiver sees the patient experiencing when taking certain medications or by interactions with other medications. Ask questions about the precautions needed when multiple medications are prescribed. Can they be taken at once, some together, some with food, some without food? And we need to remember that each individual is unique in their response to different medications. So the answer to these questions will be tailored to meet the specific needs of the patient. Finally, remind yourself again, this is your mantra, plan ahead and prioritize depending on your situation and medications. The combination of living with a cancer experience and following medication schedules can be stressful. Fortunately, our next speaker, Ms. Nicole DiMartino, is going to provide information on psychosocial services provided by Cancer Care. My colleagues and I look forward to hearing from you and the suggestions you may have on how to take care of caregivers and the patients in taking their medications as scheduled. Thank you for allowing me to share these thoughts with you.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Palos. That was a wonderful presentation, as always, and very warm, and just with lots of tips and suggestions and awareness of many of the struggles that people have in really adhering to their medication schedule. So thank you. I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A. And our next speaker is Ms. Nicole DiMartino, and Ms. DiMartino is an oncology social worker at Cancer Care, and she's going to address the free psychosocial support services offered by Cancer Care. Nicole?
Thank you, Dr. Messner. I'd like to start by talking about the importance of having support when you're diagnosed with cancer and how Cancer Care and our Hope Line can be a part of your team beyond this workshop today. As we've learned today, there's a lot of information to take in regarding cancer treatments and medications, and sometimes it's difficult to understand what this means for you. Adjusting to and coping with a cancer diagnosis is an important part of your journey, and you don't have to face it alone. Our staff of master's level oncology social workers understands the diagnosis of cancer and how it can impact someone physically, emotionally, and financially. We also know that a person's family members, friends, and loved ones are likewise affected by the diagnosis. By calling our Hope Line at 800-813-HOPE or 800-813-4673, you and your loved ones can be connected to one of our oncology social workers, who can help in many ways through our practical support, limited financial assistance, and emotional support. If needed, we can also refer you to other financial assistance resources. Our emotional support services are provided in a variety of settings, including telephone counseling and support groups, both over the phone and online. Our counseling services provide you the opportunity to talk about your individual needs, concerns, and questions. Counseling can help you explore the tools that you need to cope with your diagnosis. For many people with cancer, talking to a social worker relieves them from the stress of holding it all inside. For those who may want to connect to others going through a similar situation, Cancer Care offers a variety of support groups. In addition to offering support groups for people diagnosed with cancer, we also offer groups for family members, partners, caregivers, and loved ones. These groups are available online and over the phone. Many find that being in one of our support groups is a way to connect with others in a similar situation and learn new ways to cope, all while being in the comfort of their own home. In addition, as you know, our Connect Education workshops provide both disease-specific information as well as workshops on coping with physical and emotional aspects of cancer. By calling our Hope Line or visiting our website, you can learn more about upcoming workshops. Our fact sheets and booklets, which can be mailed to you or printed from our website, are another great way to receive up-to-date information on treatments, side effects, and coping strategies to help people diagnosed with cancer and those who care for them. All of the materials and services I mentioned today are available free of charge. Please remember that you are not alone. We hope that you will view Cancer Care as a trusted resource in an organization that offers help and hope. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. DiMartino, for an excellent presentation and very compassionate and really describing the services that people can access from Cancer Care. Thank you. And now we have time for questions. We have a lot of time for questions. I'm going to ask Trinitha to tell you all how to queue up for questions. I'm going to also ask her to bring all of our speakers on board. and we'll let the questions begin. And if we don't get to your question, you know you can call Cancer Care at the end of the call, and we'll give you that instructions later on, okay, Trinitha?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered and you wish to remove yourself from the queue, you may press the pound key. Those of you on the web may submit questions by clicking Ask a Question. Again, to ask a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone telephone.
We have a question actually from a Charnette on online question, and the question is, does it matter if the medication for Mara can be taken in the evening or must it be taken in the morning? I prefer the evening. It helps me to remember, but is it okay to take in the evening? Dr. Ruddy, would you address that question and also bring it to a broader perspective as well in terms of other medications as well?
So that's a very important question to ask your physician and also to ask your pharmacist. With really any oral medication, it's important to know if you need to be taking it with food, if there's a specific time of the day that you need to be taking it. When my patients ask me that specific question about Femara, I tell them that as far as I know, it's okay for them to take it at any time of the day, but I always refer them to the pharmacist to make sure that is actually the truth, because it's hard for us sometimes to keep all of the details in our head, and the pharmacists are experts on this. I don't know if anyone else has any input on that.
You're correct, Dr. Ruddy, mm-hmm. in the fact that Femara, it doesn't matter specifically what time of day that you do take it. There are some medications, though, that do matter. Things like if you're taking Zocor or other cholesterol medications, they tend to work better at night. Things like Protonix or Nexium or Prilosec, things for your stomach, tend to work better in the morning. But in general, it typically doesn't matter. But if you ever have any question, again, this is the perfect question to ask your physician and your pharmacist to make sure that you're getting the best benefit from your medication.
Thank you. And another question that we touched on, but I think it's one would probably good to spend some more time on, is very often a person might be going away, and they have just filled a prescription. It's a question from someone online. And then all of a sudden, they need to fill the prescription again, and they've just filled it because they realize that when they're away, they're going to have used up that prescription. And so the question is, what do they do? And I'm going to ask Dr. Hitron if he would address that question.
It's an excellent question, and it comes up a lot. You know, I know we're planning a trip right now, and I'm trying to think, my medications are going to run out in the middle of my trip, so I need to make sure to get them all filled beforehand. What you can do in this situation is, a lot of times I'm sure you've probably tried to refill your medication and the pharmacist calls you and says it's 5 days early, insurance won't pay for it. If you let the pharmacist know that you're planning on going on a vacation or on a trip and you'll be away when it's time for your medication to be due, that they can go ahead and call the insurance company and get an override. And that allows them to go ahead and fill the medication early, and insurance will pay for it, knowing that you will be out of town when you would normally fill your medication. So again, this is another opportunity where it's really good to call your pharmacist and speak with them directly when refilling medications, as well as give them plenty of lead time, and that way you know that you'll be able to get it filled on time. If you use a mail order pharmacy, the same procedures will follow. You'll want to give them a little bit more lead time, about 2 weeks before your vacation, and let them know you're going to be going on vacation, you need it filled early because you'll be out of town when it's normally due.
That's really very helpful, and thank you. Our next question, Trinitha?
Thank you. Our next question is from Pauline G. Your question, please.
Yes, I take Arimidex, and I was taking mine like at 4 o'clock every day, and so far I've been doing pretty good with taking it. But what I want to know, it doesn't say whether you eat it with food or on my bottle, or did you just eat it on empty stomach? I've been taking it like 4, so I've already had something to eat.
Excellent question. This is a very good question, whether you should take a pill with food or not with food. Dr. Ruddy, would you address that specific question, and then we'll bring it to the broader question of how do you know how to take pills with food, without food, empty stomach. Dr. Ruddy?
So it's my understanding that with Arimidex, it does not matter whether you take it with food or not, but I usually do, again, refer to the pharmacist to make sure that I'm correct in these answers.
Dr. Hitron, do you want to add?
The Arimidex, you are correct. It does not matter whether it's taken with or without food. Again, just like time of day doesn't matter for some medications but does matter for others, there are certain medications that do matter. And check with your pharmacist when you pick up the medication. Take the time and ask them, this is new for me. I'm not sure how to take it. my physician wanted me to check with you, do I need to take this with food or do I not? There are some common chemotherapy medications like Xeloda where it does matter, and a lot of patients might be on multiple medications where one has to be taken with food and one does not. And so, again, this is a good opportunity to ask and make sure that you have the right information. And this is where schedules, like Dr. Palos talked about, can really come in handy. If you write down all your medications, and then you can write down, take this one with food, take this one without food, and then schedule them throughout your day so you can make sure, again, you're getting the full benefit of the medication. A lot of times when you take them with food and they're not intended to be taken with food or vice versa, you can actually end up reducing the amount of medication that gets absorbed into your body, so you're not going to get the full benefit that you and your physician are expecting to get from the chemotherapy or other medications that you're using.
Thank you so much. It's great having you on the call. Thank you. Our next question, Geneva.
Thank you. Our next question is from Nikki C. Your question, please.
Oh, I think you may have answered it because I'm taking the Remedex also, and I try taking it every night, you know, at the same time. And the only side effects I get is hot flashes, and sometimes I understand one of the other ones is sleep. I don't sleep that good.
Okay. Well, Nikki, thank you for that question. Dr. Wadi, do you want to comment at all?
Certainly. So those are very common side effects of the Arimidex medication, and certainly something that you should bring up to your physician. There are other medications that, and other lifestyle changes that can help manage those symptoms, and probably the symptoms are not going to be affected by the time of day that you're taking the medication. As far as I know, there's no effect of the symptom on, effect of the time of day on those types of symptoms. But I do think that you should discuss these with your physician, and if they're severe, you should consider other management techniques for improving these symptoms.
Excellent. Dr. Hedron, do you want to add anything as well?
I think Dr. Reddy answered it all excellently.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. Good team here. Okay. So we have another question from someone just in terms of just remembering to take their pills, and although Dr. Reddy did address that, still, that issue of, I know, how to remember to take the pills, it just, and I guess, and, you know, I would like to comment, I guess, Dr. Lilienbaum, if you want to say something, and Dr. Ruddy and Dr. Hitron and just and Dr. Palos, just, you know, it seems to be just a persistent problem that people have, and so.
I think especially for patients who need to take the medication for a long time, and many patients take medications for 5 or 10 years, as Dr. Ruddy said, it's not always easy to remember to take them on a daily basis. I think one trick that I have, you know, found useful, and I've learned this from patients, and is when they, I'm not even sure how that's called, but it's that box that has the medications for each day. And that allows, you know, people to, you know, fill that box, let's say once a week for the rest of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so forth. And most people who do this tend to be very compliant with their medications. I've learned some cute stories about how people remind themselves of taking their medications and where they actually put the medication. But I think for the patient population at large, I think the important thing is consistency, and it's perhaps having a system, you know, that allows you to do this almost without, you know, thinking, you know, so that it's part of your daily routine.
And that's an excellent point about the pill containers, pill boxes. They come in all sizes and shapes, and they're quite available. Dr. Ruddy, do you want to add anything?
Well, I certainly agree that pill boxes can be extremely effective. I actually just saw a patient last week who told me the pill box wasn't enough for her, but her son was able to set up an alarm for her to go off every day at the time that she needed to take. And she couldn't figure it out herself, and I don't think I might not be able to figure it out, but if you have somebody who can set that up for you, or if you can set it up on your phone or, you know, on just your alarm clock, an alarm to remind you to take your pill, that can be effective for people. Or if it can be a phone call, you know, that does rely on the person making the phone call to remember every day, but those sort of triggers to just remind you, it can be difficult to make taking a pill as routine as brushing your teeth. So sometimes we need these extra reminders.
Absolutely. Dr. Palos, do you want to?
Yes, I listened with interest about some of the tips that were there. One of the things I remember, I think one of the hardest things for us is to incorporate medication taking into our daily routine. So one thing that folks might want to do is keep the medication highly visible. So you can keep that, I mean, for a daily routine, keep it close to your toothbrush in the bathroom because you know you're going to brush your teeth every day. By the coffee pot if you're a coffee drinker or the teapot. By your hairbrush, just somewhere where it's going to click and remind you, yes, I need to take my medication. And it's interesting how each one of us can have different preferences for how we learn or how we're triggered to remember something. Some of us like the visible so that the calendar can hang on the fridge or somewhere, again, where it's highly visible. Some of us like the auditory so we can get those alarms to work for us. And some of us may like the vocal, like our caregiver or a family member or a loved one calling and reminding us. But one of the things I think that comes up a lot of times is folks may have all of these, but, you know, sometimes the patients are so overwhelmed by everything that's going on. It's like sometimes it can be a form of rebellion. It's like, I'm not going to take them right now, you know, or I'm not going to take them just because they reminded me to. But remember, the whole purpose of these medications are to help you during your cancer experience as well as to control all the chronic conditions you may have. So even though you may have that resistance for a second or two or a couple of minutes, remember in the long run that this medication is being prescribed for a reason and it's to your benefit.
Dr. Hitron?
Everything that's been made is an excellent point. It is really important to get as part of your schedule. So the tips that Dr. Palos gave about setting next to your toothbrush or the coffee maker, I set my prescriptions next to my alarm clock, so I make sure when I set my alarm at night that I make sure I take my medication. Something else that can also help for patients that are more tech-savvy or have family members or caregivers who are more tech-savvy is there's actually computer programs even that are made that can help send you text messages and remind you again. It's another form of having a reminder set that says, take your medication. Have you remembered this one today? So there's a lot of different options out there, and it's really important to figure out what connects with you the best and how to remember to take your medication. And so if one's not working, try a different idea and try a different way to remember them.
Excellent. And Mr. DiMartino, in terms of the support groups I know that you're running, and I know people probably talk about the challenges of taking their pills and remembering on schedule, and any thoughts that you have in terms of what maybe some of the participants in the groups have said or how a group can be helpful in just reminding everyone about the importance of doing this.
Certainly, a group can be very helpful in just the way we've done today, given different ideas of what's worked for different people. A group can do the same thing for you. So many times we've had group members say, you know, I'm having trouble with this, or I need help with this, any ideas? And the other members are very quick to offer what's worked for them or what hasn't worked for them. So it can be really helpful to have a space to kind of talk about the issues that you're having and get other people's responses and see what can work for you.
It's incredibly important in terms of just all these ideas that maybe help someone think of some other idea. The other thing that we have a question here about is just when someone's taking multiple medications, although we addressed it, that if they're just taking one pill per day versus if they're taking four or five pills per day, and I wonder if, Dr. Hitron, if you could address that. That's really the interaction and just the difficulty that sometimes people feel with having to take more than one pill.
It's very difficult. I only take a couple pills a day, and I have a hard time remembering, and this is my job. So it's very tricky to remember to take all of your pills. Things that can help is sometimes you have to take medications twice a day, and if you have a difficult time remembering that first dose or that second dose, talk to your physician and see if maybe it can be made into once daily medication. So that's one option. If you've got multiple pills that are all taken around the same time, check with your pharmacist. Make sure that they're not going to interact with each other and see if you can take them together as opposed to taking one at 1 hour and then one at the next hour. A lot of times also, if you are using over-the-counter medications or herbal supplements, some of these may not be necessary. And so, again, check with your physician and see, is there something that we can do on your medication list, ways that we can consolidate into a single pill, maybe what you used to take is two or three pills. There's a lot of combination products out there, and they can help to reduce the amount of pills that you physically have to take each day, which sometimes can make it easier to remember and make it a lot easier to swallow.
Thank you. I want to thank all of our speakers today. You've really been just amazing and a great team, I have to say. And it is a multidisciplinary team, and having a team like that to ask your questions to is really important. I think as Ms. DiMartino had said, we don't want anyone to feel that you're alone in coping with these issues. We want you to know that you're part of a community of support, and that doing it all by yourself is not the easiest way to do that. Really getting some support and help is very important. So I do want to remind you again of the services that you can access from Cancer Care. Now, we at Cancer Care have 45 master's level trained oncology social workers, and we're here to provide a host of services, from practical and financial assistance to counseling, a chance to talk with one of our social workers. We also have telephone and online support groups. And we have, of course, these workshops and, of course, informational materials that you can get from Cancer Care. We have such a combination of services that we would not want anyone to feel that you're kind of alone in trying to figure things out. We want you to know that we're here for you and that to give us a call. Our toll-free number is 1-800-813-HOPE, or you can visit our website at www.cancercare.org. But most importantly, feel free to call us. If you have a question that you didn't get to ask during the call today, we're here to answer your questions and to be available to you. I want to thank you all for participating today, and I hope that you've learned some information that you can then use in talking with your healthcare team and feeling more informed about these issues, and also that you can apply some of the tips that we've given today. Thank you all, and I want to wish you all a very fine day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes the workshop. You may disconnect and have a wonderful day.